What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Clinical AT is sales rep with Jared and Brandon. Jared Plummer, my buddy, has been on the podcast, I think, at least five times, and then there's still some episodes that have not been released yet. He helped me out big time at NATA. He just kept bringing people over, and I was moving, shuffling people around so that he could bring people over, which is a really cool problem to have. So, Jared, I appreciate you being so involved and then again joining me to share wisdom and help athletic trainers grow as they move either from the high school setting to a sales rep, or like Brandon, they move from a high school setting to a an office manager type, and we're going to discuss that a little bit more. So Jared, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's good to be here, and it's all about advancing the profession, whether it be in traditional or non-traditional ways. I'm glad I can help.
Very good. And then Brandon, he has actually been on the podcast before. We were talking about this same topic, but he was still working at the high school setting. And this is kind of the, I don't know if the culmination, but the termination of the discussion that we had before, as we were, he was figuring out if he was going to, what he needed to do to move on to a different setting that was better for his family. And so we'll hear a little bit more about his story there. So Brandon, welcome to the show.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/sales rep. Again, I'm Jeremy Jackson, your host, and this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/sales rep, which will have show notes and everything there if you want to look at it or figure out how to contact Brandon or Jared. All right, Jared, you worked in the college setting, and then I think you worked at two or three different colleges. So why don't you go ahead and tell us your story real quick, and then how you got to DonJoy.
Yeah, by the grace of God, I'm an East Carolina Pirate. I got an undergrad degree in athletic training, and then my master's in health studies from Southeastern Louisiana University. Was hired by Daryl Conway, who's now the director of sports health at Michigan, but I was actually hired at University of Maryland, worked with baseball, and then was the football athletic trainer at Florida Atlantic University, and then ended up my traditional athletic training career at Ole Miss. I was a football athletic trainer at Ole Miss before moving back to had opportunity to work to move back home. Mom had some health issues, so I moved back home. And who knew? I'm a sales guy, so I'm with ACO Med Supply, and we're the distributors for DonJoy Orthopedics here in Eastern North Carolina.
And again, I highly recommend checking out some of Jared's previous podcasts. Again, one of them is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/negotiate, where he talked about how to negotiate your salary. So maybe if you're looking to make this move, listen to that podcast with Jared. And also he talked about personal finance, and then he did the ones at NATA. So again, personal finance, negotiate. Think about these things as you're considering making a move. All right, Brandon, let's talk about your AT story.
Yes, sir. So I was an athletic trainer at a high school setting here in Huntsville, Alabama for 10 years. I was starting to had two little boys. Was starting to get to the point where I knew eventually I was going to want to get out, have a little bit more time with my family. I had looked into things like sales rep with Jared Grace, who I think is with Gatorade now, and spoke with him. And you know, we work really closely with a DonJoy rep down here in Huntsville. She came to speak with me about fixing a brace for one of my athletes, and we started talking about a position that was available at a local orthopedic doctor's office, and kind of got me set up there. And so, yep, I just went straight from college to graduating and right to the high school athletic training setting.
All right, so then college, high school, and your wife is a coach, and so she kind of understands the hours, but that was also putting kind of a strain on your relationship, right?
Yeah, a little bit. She had gotten out of it, you know, with our boys. She had gotten away from it. She was just more of a, you know, assistant, would help here and there. But, you know, I could tell she wants to kind of get back into that a little bit. And so doing this allows her to get back to doing what she loves to do and still be able to keep everything together with the family. So, yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right. So, Brandon, tell me a little bit more about the process, because, like I said before, we had already talked about what you were thinking and working through. And at that point you were actually looking at going with Stryker as a mm-hmm. medical or a surgical tech kind of thing, where you're in the hospital or the surgery room with them. And so tell me a little bit more about the process of making the change.
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, it was really crazy how it happened. I know we had talked and I was looking at the idea of getting out of athletic training. I had some friends that were, you know, I'd talked with, a gentleman that was a Medco sales rep. I'd looked into that. I talked to some of my friends that were with Stryker and surgical sales. And you know, I even spoke a little bit with Heather Morse, who's our DonJoy rep here, about possibly, you know, getting into that setting. And nothing, just, I wasn't quite ready to make the move. You know, I still loved athletic training. You know, I still was enjoying what I was doing. It wasn't, you know, too much of a burden. And Heather came to talk to me that day about fixing somebody's brace and just said, hey, I've got a, you know, durable medical equipment coordinator position. Do you know anybody that might be interested? And I, at that time, I didn't even know what that was. I said, well, hey, you know, I've kind of been looking to, you know, possibly get out of athletic training. You know, maybe I could, you know, tell me a little bit more about the job. And, you know, she explained it to me and said, hey, I'm going to get you an interview with a guy, you know, later this week. And it just, I mean, my process was quick. I didn't even know what the job was. And 3 days later, I was in somebody's office interviewing for a position just to kind of see if I was, you know, something that I was interested in.
All right. So explain for me and everybody else, durable medical equipment. What is that?
Yes. So durable medical equipment is essentially bracing, crutches, you know, any medical equipment that they're putting on that's not, you know, surgical, it's not going kind of into the body. So what I do in my office is, you know, we fit braces. I'm in an office with 25 plus doctors, ranging from physiatrists to back and spine doctors to sports, you know, board certified sports medicine specialists. And we've got four trauma docs. So we see just about everything. Most of the bracing we try and keep in-house. So if a doctor says they'd like their patient to have a knee brace, they send them down to us. We have a room with a selection and, you know, we fit the patient, find the right size, the right brace for them. Also communicate with the doctors as to maybe they've got an injury they're not used to seeing and they need to find a specific brace, and we help them, you know, facilitate finding the correct brace and that, and then also help the patients with fixing and adjusting their braces that they have.
Okay, Jared, let's talk about your transition. So what were some of the things that, I know you mentioned earlier, that health was, some health issues was one of the reasons you decided to come back home and have this, but what were some of the things that you worked through in going to take this job with DonJoy?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, coming out of undergrad, I wanted to be a football athletic trainer in the SEC or ACC. So, you know, to be honest with you, when I had the opportunity and moved to Oxford, Mississippi, I fully intended to retire there. I mean, there's no reason not to. And then life happened, right? So mom had Parkinson's, and honestly, I wasn't all that seriously looking to move back. She was doing okay, but of course, you know, I understand how things kind of progress. And if there was every time I made and this kind of goes back to our prior podcast talking about networking and stuff like that, but I reached out to, every time I made a career change, I called a couple people. One of them is Mike Hanley at East Carolina University, who's a director of sports medicine here. And he was a head athletic trainer when I was here. I reached out to Mike and said, hey, just throwing it out there, if you know of any opportunities that you think would be, you know, good for me. I knew going to the university, East Carolina, going back to East Carolina, frankly, would probably a pay cut, which I couldn't do. And I felt like it had to be the right spot. So I was kind of looking, but I didn't really think much of it. But Hanley, who is actually going to be interesting because the similar story as to what Brandon said, Hanley said, Jared, you won't believe this. He said the DonJoy rep just left my office not an hour ago and is probably driving back to his home saying, hey, we've been trying to find somebody to help out in this area. And, you know, did you have any suggestions? And apparently my name was brought up. So it was kind of a divine intervention thing. So but at the same time, it's all about, you know, continue to work your network. I mean, so obviously Brandon had a great, had put out some positive vibes to Heather, his DonJoy rep. And, you know, same thing for me. If I've got somebody locally that if I know we've got a clinic that's looking for something, you know, I may have met an athletic trainer or some, you know, or five along the way. We'll absolutely try to do everything we can to get good people into positions that we can work. Cause you know, I work extensively with our DME coordinators. I'm sure the same for Brandon, but that's kind of how I ended up in the role I am. I ended up going for the interview and, DonJoy does want to hire athletic trainers. It seems to be a very poignant, hiring strategy. It's easy to teach sales. It's hard to teach medical. So, and it's hard to teach experience. So, when I say it fell in my lap, I'd say it fell in my lap. At the same time, I think that's setting your network up is what got that position.
All right, Jared, there's been a couple of times that we've talked. You know, we kind of hung out just a little bit there at NATA here in Houston. And I get the feeling that you are a very likable guy, Jared. Like, you're one of those guys that people just like, hey, let's call Jared and see what he's doing kind of thing. And so for me, for me, it is, I'm not somebody that like people call and say, hey, come hang out. You know, like I'll call people, invite them over to the house, that kind of thing. But I'm not one of those people that like everybody wants to be around. Right. And so it's a little harder for me, in thinking about the network or making those connections. So talk to me just a little bit about how you said work that network, make those connections, and go on about there.
So, yeah, no, obviously, as you can tell, this was not pre-planned. I didn't get a list of questions, so this is going to be on the spot, which I love. This is the best part of this podcast. I mean, this is like a let's just talk. No, honestly, I think so. I'm certainly not an introvert, if you haven't figured this out. At the same time, I mean, I've learned to be uncomfortable. I've learned to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think to a point, it all starts, even for a true introvert, you still have a couple people who you've met along the way. And that's not to say you go out. I think networking is not just about who you know, it's about who they know. So if you've made a good impression, for instance, hopefully good impression on your program director or one of your instructors or maybe one of your classmates, then to continue to keep in contact with those people after graduating. Or, you know, if you haven't talked to them in 10 years, shoot them a Facebook message. Hey, man, I was just thinking about you. Hope you're doing well. Would love to catch up one day. And those are people you may not feel necessarily comfortable with, but, you know, but it's certainly not uncomfortable. You're not cold calling friends, right? So I think if you can just try to find your core group of people, a couple, I literally have three people that I call whenever there's a job opening. And yes, I'd like to think that I may have hundreds others that I could probably reach out to, but in reality, there's three people. Like I will always call Mike Hanley for sure, because he will be very blunt with me, and I need that. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. He steered me away from some what I thought were very good jobs. But I think for someone who's kind of an introvert, you find that core group of people that just reach out to them every month, shoot them a text message, shoot them a Facebook message, shoot them an email. And then over time, you'll develop that relationship and say, hey, do you have any suggestions for, I'm looking to kind of do this. And they'll say, you know what, let me reach out to so-and-so. And now you're not the one making that call. They're making that call. So I think networking is all about reaching out to your existing network and then let your network work for you.
Yeah, that's my problem is, you know, we get busy, but also some of the time I feel, I guess, less than genuine, because if I'm thinking about, hey, I need to contact this person so that I'm kind of staying on their mind in case there is a job, then for me personally, I guess it's just like a mental hang up to where I feel like I'm using them rather than building the relationship. But really, it is just part of building a relationship. Maybe they were thinking about calling me and they just didn't do it either.
Yeah, you got to be comfortable. This is the uncomfortable part. Yeah, learn. You're going to have to, it's all about development, you know, personal development. And I think, you know, like for instance, when I reach out to Hanley, I legitimately reach out to see how he's doing. I mean, I really do. And like, I don't know, try and be like a real friend. Weird, Jeremy. So like, I don't get messages from you anymore, except for, hey, Jared, we're going to do the podcast at 11:50 Central Time. Make sure you're ready. So I'm just kidding. But seriously, though, I mean, when it comes down to it, don't feel bad, man. This is, look, if as long as you're not a turd, then chances are I'm going to try to reach out and try to find an opportunity. If you reach out, if you ask me, if you say, hey, Jared, you know what? God, I hate Texas. All of a sudden, I hate the fact that I don't have to pay state income tax, which, by the way, I'd love to have in North Carolina. But all of a sudden, you really want to look for an opportunity. Hey, I want to move up somewhere that's got four seasons. I don't know. So come to North Carolina. So you better bet you in a second I will try to send out some feelers. I'll shoot out a text message with 20 people like now. And then I will work because I think you're a good dude in general.
Well, I appreciated that. So, yeah, again, it is just one of those things I have to – kind of just get over my self-imposed mental block there. But I actually asked the school health and the Medco rep to one of the sales reps to be on the podcast, but they couldn't because they were traveling. So Brandon, talk a little bit about your schedule right now.
Yeah. That's actually one of the things, you know, like I said, I looked into sales rep, and one of the things that drew me back in to that I like this is it's an office setting. I'm here in town, and I drive 10 more minutes further than when I was driving to my high school. You know, I get into the office between 7:30 and 8 every day. Most days I'm off by 4:30. I've got three people that work kind of with me, and we kind of alternate some times and hours. So when I have a late day here at the office, it's based on when the last doctor gets off. But even a late day in the office is 6, you know, maybe 6:30 versus, you know, coming back from a football game that's an hour and a half away and getting home at, you know, midnight, you know, 1 a.m. So it's definitely a lot better. You know, earlier mornings, has taken a little bit of adjusting to. I'm not even sure if I'm quite adjusted to that yet. It was nice being able to have some time around the house in the mornings during the day. But it's definitely, you know, 4:30 rolls around, clock out and roll out, and don't have to worry about, hey, is somebody going to call me when I get home? Am I going to have to go meet a kid at the ER? You know, things like that. It's kind of nice that when I'm done, I'm done. You know, it just doesn't carry over.
All right. So good. No more traveling, no more late nights. And again, if you do have a late night, instead of being 4 o'clock, you're leaving at 6 o'clock, where is most secondary athletic trainers, that's the average. That's when practice is over. That's by the time you finish up treatments and you leave. And so most of the time I'm here at 6:45. And so we discussed this just before we started, but you also don't get summers off, whereas I get most of Thanksgiving, most of Christmas, part of spring break, and I get pretty much 2 months for summer here at my setting. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was the biggest adjustment for our family. Honestly, my wife is a teacher, so she has summers off, and so as an athletic trainer, I had summers, you know, mostly off. There's no summer anymore. Everybody goes just about year-round. But we always had some time where I could travel. We'd go see my family. We'd go see her family. We'd have some time off. So that was one of the biggest adjustments. You know, I get major holidays off, but outside of that, we're here, you know, weekdays all the time. So summer was a little rough, you know, have my wife home all day with the boys, and I've got to get up and go to work and then, you know, come home. You know, of course, it is a new job for me. So like with most jobs, I'm starting kind of low on the totem pole with vacation hours, but as I work longer, I'll accumulate, you know, we get more weeks, more time off. So you know, it's not necessarily the job as much as it's just being a new job, so I don't have quite the flexibility, I guess, that I used to. But one nice thing is being a single athletic trainer at a school, even if I wasn't feeling well, I didn't want to take a day off, because if I wasn't there was nobody there. Like, my kids may not have anybody to take care of them. Whereas now I know I've got people working with me. So if I can't make it into the office, if something happens, if I've got to go pick up my son from school, I know that if I take off, everything is still covered. There's still people there working. We're still okay. You know, and it's not going to be, you know, man, if I took a day off as an athletic trainer, all I thought the whole time I was out was, man, I sure hope some kid doesn't get hurt today. You know, I hope they know to call me, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it does provide me with a little more flexibility on that end, where, you know, something that happens last minute is easier to get taken care of.
Good. All right. So, Jared, we're friends on Facebook. I see you posting about driving, you know, you putting like 100,000 miles a year on your car. You know, obviously you traveled down here to NATA for your sales job. So working in DME, or direct durable medical equipment, is different than doing sales. So, Jared, talk about your schedule now. And again, college football is much different than the secondary setting. It's even more demanding than, you know, our job is here in the secondary setting. But discuss what your schedule is now compared to then.
Yeah, so I've turned into a long-haul truck driver, pretty much. That's how I describe it. I'm trying to figure out if I can get vinyl wraps around my car with advertisements and get paid. I'm working on that, pretty much putting all my eggs in that basket to help offset. I drive 1,000 miles a week. So actually it comes out to about right out, you know, 50,000 miles a year or so on my car. It was the crappiest part of the transition, to be really honest. But, you know, you're basically given, hey, this is your territory, go sell. And then, you know, there's not much more direction other than that. Basically what I enjoy about my role currently is that, from a scheduling standpoint, is that within reason I can set my own schedule. You know, I'm the guy that if I know I've got friends, you may have seen on the Facebook post, I've measured 20 patients yesterday for mainly custom knee braces. That was all from one place. That is actually it's a government facility, a VA facility. So thankfully I was able to be in one spot for 3 hours. It felt like, you know, the Ford Motor Company with the assembly line, but we were able to get everybody knocked out and get everybody taken care of and answered every question they have. But my hours now are pretty much, depending on the day, I'm usually out the door about 7:30. most places I have to go to, I have about an hour and a half drive one way to kind of get there. And then I kind of work my way around to come back home. And so I may have, you know, on one given day, I may have 6 or 7 clinics that are existing customers. I usually try to separate the territory. The first year, so I'm 5 years in. I'm still trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing, to be honest. I'm surprised I haven't been fired yet. But that being said, what's been great is that I've been able to talk to some people that have been in for a while to learn how to manage the territory. Don't let the territory manage you, because it can be quite overwhelming. So I basically have one day a week in a certain area, and then I basically work that area. So all of my DME coordinators, all my doctors, all my MAs or whatnot, all my athletic trainers, they know that I'm going to be in that area that next Monday. Now, if I need to make a special trip, I'll absolutely do it. But for the first year, I was making special trips all over the place, and I put over 60,000 miles on my car. And then I learned that there's not sustainable. So now, you know, within reason, I can, if I feel like I need to get, you know, if I want to get home at 4 o'clock, then I'm home at 4 o'clock. If I need to work a half day today for this podcast, I was like, you know, today's my day. I normally drive about 2 hours away and then kind of work my way back up. So I'd usually leave around 7:15, 7:30, and then get back home around 6:37 at night. So there were those long days. They still happen. But it just, you know, but I can control that within reason. So if I needed to, I could always move that day and split it up into to separate days. So my hours are much, much better versus a 6 a.m., you know, being in the athletic training room at, you know, 5:30 a.m. versus be home at 8 o'clock, which is pretty standard for in-season football at many colleges.
All right. And then as far as being away from home with college football, it was pretty much every Friday to Saturday or Sunday morning, basically, you were gone. And so what does it look like now as far as outside of being away from your home?
Yeah, it's I want to have kids and I'm actually recently engaged and getting married in June. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And she hasn't backed out since then. She's had her chances. And I've given her chances, frankly. Honestly, it's been the future I see for myself and her and our family is awesome. So I can raise my kids, which is something that if I'd have been a college athletic trainer, look, and they certainly can't, God knows you have to have a strong person at home, you know, that your other spouse or family members pitching in. But I wanted to be the guy that's able to watch his kid at Pee Wee football or T-ball. So honestly, my hours now are, I can manage them. And most days I am home at 5 o'clock, between 5 and 6 o'clock. I'll be able to, my lifestyle, I can actually go to happy hour, which is weird. I didn't know what that really was. 10 years.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's great. Yeah.
Okay, so in all of this, what has been the hardest part for you, Brandon, as far as making the transition?
I really miss the relationships that you build with the coaches, the parents, the athletes. I mean, I have, you know, I have a handful of kids who graduated, you know, maybe 2 years ago, whose parents I still will bump into, or the athlete will still, you know, maybe they're just playing intramurals in college and I'm like, hey, I hurt my knee this weekend, you know, what should I do? And that kind of stuff. And I miss those relationships. I mean, you know, we see a ton of people, you know, coming through the office. I'd say we average 45 to 60 patients a day come through our DME room and get bracing. And some of them are repeat people, you know, some of them you get to know a little bit, but you just don't build those relationships like you can with a coach and an athlete and a parent. And I do, I think that's one of the things I miss the most is just, you know, getting to know people. You know, you feel, you know, at the high school I was at, there was a decent amount of, you know, lower income families. And so sometimes with those kids, you're the only, you know, medical.
Jared, are you still there?
Got you, buddy.
All right. Brandon, can you, you're cutting out. All right, so Jared, I'm going to ask you the same question, and then when Brandon hops back in. All right, so you already said 50,000 miles, and I know Brandon said building relationships, but I've also seen you tell a lot of stories from your patients as far as there was one, it was about like her husband had like a Purple Heart and the war, and you got to see all these medals and different things like that. So I know, Jared, you've been able to still build some relationships, but it's not quite the same. So other than driving 50,000 miles per year, Jared, what has been some of the hardest parts for you about transitioning?
I'll say I do still certainly drive the 50,000 miles, and it is certainly still going to be in the top 1% for the rest of my life of the worst parts of the job. I guess they're worth 99% of what I hate about the job. What I miss from my prior job, and I'll jump into your question. I miss the camaraderie, exactly what Brandon said, the camaraderie that you build with your team going through the grind of preseason camp. You know, I can't believe that I'm actually saying that I miss preseason. It was horrid. You know, you're in at 4 o'clock in the morning and you go home at 11 o'clock at night. I mean, it's wretched, but you know what? You and those other athletic trainers, certified athletic trainers that are there with you, full-time staff, and your 2GA and your intern, and yes, we had 20 students who I still keep in contact with, a bunch of them. You guys did it together, and I've got the story, you know, all these stories of the coaches you've met and experiences you've made and running out of the tunnel at LSU at night. I mean, those are things that I miss often. Every Saturday when I turn on the tube, I'm mad that I'm not still there. But at the same time, yeah, some of the great experiences I've been able to have right now with my current, you're right. I don't have those same, you know, going through the grind, but I'm still finding that I'm able to help people, which is really why we got into athletic training in the beginning. At least I did. I have an opportunity to help and make an impact on somebody. And it's not just, hey, buy my brace. You know, it's not that at all. If I can make money off of helping people, I mean, that's came across way worse than it's supposed to. What I meant to say was, like, I have an opportunity to directly impact somebody's life. And frankly, they're impacting my life much more than I expected. Because, I mean, I could show you a video from my phone right now from a patient that was walking up and down the stairs and had not in a week, in over a year and a half, because we unloaded her knee brace. Her knee. And you know what? That may not seem like that big a deal for some people, but for the 65-year-old grandma who's got an 8-year-old grandkid, that literally, I've had a dozen people cry thanking me. Not cry like, man, I hate you, like some of my athletes. No, but seriously, I mean, I realize how much of an impact we're having on people. And honest to God, that's really what I care about. At the end of the year, I look at numbers. I really do. At the end of the quarter, every now and then I'll look at it. But it doesn't change what I'm going to do. I'm ultimately there to try to help as many patients as I can and find out ways to work with clinics so that, because I feel like myself and our products can help more patients than anybody else. I feel strongly about that. And if there's a way for me to help any patient, and if there's a way for me to make a living doing it, by God, this is the coolest profession I never thought I'd be in. How's that?
That'll work. Brandon, you kind of got cut off there for a second. So
yeah, I think I got it fixed.
You were in the middle of discussing the hardest part. I know you said, like you said, the camaraderie or the relationships you build.
Yeah.
Was there something else you were finishing up there?
No, not really. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, there's something about being on a sideline, you know, a football field or a softball field, whatever it is, and that being work, it's just really cool. You know, you're out there, people see you, you see people, everybody knows who you are. I miss that kind of stuff. But just like Jared said, you know, we had a similar situation. We had a girl come in our office the other day that hadn't been able to bear weight in like a year and a half on her ankle because she's been from, you know, boot to boot and cast to cast. And we worked on getting her in an orthotic for her foot and ankle, and she got to walk. And I mean, she broke down because she had not put weight on that, you know, she had not walked in a year and a half. And so that was one thing I didn't think I was going to get in a job like this. And, and you do, you know, the stories aren't quite maybe as many, but they're there. You know, I had a kid whose mom called the office to say, thank you. We put him in a Donjoy for football. He called it his Tom Brady brace. And he went out that next weekend. We got it short notice for him. He went out that weekend and threw two touchdowns and ran for one. And his mom called the office Monday morning and said, hey, he wants to say thank you for the Tom Brady brace. You know, it made the world to him. So, you know, I miss those relationships, but that helping people is still there, which was I was afraid I might miss. So that's nice.
Yeah, hey Jeremy, if I can, I want to jump in. One of my cool stories, and it's like the Tom Brady brace. I get a phone call from a Navy corpsman. So we work with Marine Corps Special Operations Command here in Eastern North Carolina. So MARSOC. I get a phone call actually he's an athletic trainer who's a corpsman, and he goes, hey Jared, can you come by and take a look at this guy? He's an operator and he's training for a mission. He had a medial meniscus tear and he is not able to be replaced. So I come out, get him measured, get him the brace the next day, come back out and fit it to him. I get a phone call about a month later, and he had taken shrapnel, and his like third day in theater, and so he's in a convoy. They take an IED, get shrapnel. He's fine. Was able to finish the mission. Was able to finish his tour, and I guess not full tour. It was about 3 weeks he was overseas. He came back. I get a call, so I show back up to see the guy because the brace had broken. It was one of our Defiance, which has a lifetime warranty for those keeping track at home. Anyway, so sure enough, I get the brace and it had shrapnel piece about an inch and a half, 2 inches thick And he said, dude, and there was a lot of cussing, so I'll try to down. He goes, dude, I felt like Jesus. He said, this is my Jesus brace. And I was like, what do you mean? He's a dude. I feel like I can walk on water with this brace. He said, it took a hit and I could keep going. And I told him, I was like, how about this? If we can do a marketing campaign of you walking with the brace on water, I can promise you'll be the face of DonJoy forever. But those are things, you know, of course, this is a little odd, but he was able to, as soon as we put the unloader on, we unloaded a meniscus injury. And he literally went right down to his stance and crouched to make sure he could still move properly. That was a little eye-opening, like, whoa, this is life or death. So anyway, that was my Tom Brady brace story. But some people call Tom Brady Jesus, so it felt appropriate.
All right. So again, you know, we talked about some of the good parts where you're helping people. Some of the hard parts is you miss the camaraderie. You get a little bit better schedule that's traded off, or maybe you're working during the summer when you would have been off. You know, for me, it's really important because I have three young boys, two of them are in school. So not being off when they're off would be really difficult because I want to be home when they're home. I don't want to have to take them out of school, yeah, which I've done before, so that we could kind of hang out, right? And so in considering making a transition, you guys give me your top three suggestions in any order. And, you know, if Jared, you have one, Brandon, you have one, you could take turns, whatever, but your top three suggestions for things to consider when making the transition to a non-clinical athletic trainer setting as similar to what you're doing.
Cool. Jared, you got one?
I got you, buddy. Here's my top two, which has never been the most important, but it certainly is important. I have way more time now, which we've already talked about, but to be really blunt, I've almost doubled my salary in 5 years, and I'd be remiss and I'd be an idiot not to mention that. I mean, that's, I'm going to state the obvious, but that is the fact that I can now do something still as an athletic trainer and still help people. I feel like I'm having a meaningful impact and I'm able to do it with less hours and a lot more money. That's a major factor. And I'd like to still think I'm not a turd to say that, but I mean, that's the truth. But I'm still an athletic trainer. I'm still seeing patients. I still got the orthopedic surgeon calling, hey, Jared, this is what I got. What do you think? And I mean, I missed that as an athletic trainer working at college. The guy, you know, you're a colleague versus just a sales rep that I hate sales reps. So that's taken a little while to get used to. But those are two big things, two positives, which, I mean, I don't mind saying. I don't think it'd be inappropriate for me to say. But those are two big things that I've enjoyed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I'd be similar with that. Time, you know, you just look at the hours of what you're doing. You know, the high school that I was at, I know not all high school settings are the same, and college settings obviously are a little bit different. But I would say generally, I was working about a 6-hour day. I was going into work at, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock. Was getting off at, you know, between, you know, 6:30 or 7 on a practice night. Obviously, a little later on game nights. And so I'm working longer days now. You know, I'm getting off a little earlier. You know, I don't have mornings like I used to. So you just kind of have to look at what that schedule does for you and your family, or, you know, if you're working on schooling or anything like that, you just have to be able to make sure that schedule is going to work for you. That was one thing I didn't maybe take quite as heavily into consideration until I started this job. Is, I mean, I was in a situation where they told me, hey, look, this girl's leaving. We've got to fill this position. You have, you know, 2 weeks to make up your mind because we've got to start training you. So I didn't have as much time to kind of mull over stuff as I would have liked. But, you know, money definitely is always a consideration. You know, whether if you're losing money, is that going to be worth the time that you're gaining? And then, you know, just the time differences from one job to the other, I would say those are big.
I think, and just to piggyback, I think the main thing is try to, what is your motivating factor? My motivation was to move back home to be closer to family. That was my sole motivation. I absolutely loved my old job. All the crap about the job that I hated at the time, I mean, I love it. I realized, you know, God, I miss preseason, and I miss the multi-million-dollar coach who is fussing at you on the sideline. Like, I miss that. But no, really, you look at, I mean, money is hopefully will never be a motivating factor for me. Time will, meaning time with my family. And I mean, like, my parents. My mom did pass away 2 years ago, but I was blessed that I was able to be there when she did. It was a blessing for me. And I really took a lot more appreciation for my current job when I realized it allowed me to be able to be flexible to do that, to help my sister if she's going through, you know, an issue here or there, or my grandmother whose daughter passed away, and I'm now the closest living relative to her. So that you just figure out what is your motivating factor. And if your motivating factor for me was family and this was the way for me to do it, if I found a job as a traditional athletic trainer making what I did with the hours in the same location, I'd be doing it in a second because I absolutely love the evaluation side. I love the getting to know the kids and the families and the parents and all that. But I think you got to figure out what is your motivating factor. That was my why.
All right, Brandon, I've got two for you. I've got the money, the hours. You got anything else?
Yeah. No, that's about it. I mean, you just, you know, Jared's is saying everything that I think I would. You know, you just got to make sure, you know, you're doing it for, you know, if you're doing it just for money, you know, eventually something's not going to work out right. You know, I loved athletic training. You know, even though I'm making a little bit more, necessarily have been worth just the move, it's that time with my family. It's the, you know, weekends that I don't have to worry about covering something, you know, all day or half day. And so yeah, just what is the motivating factor? That's a good way to put that, Jared.
Yeah, I would definitely say define your goal and then make sure that new position meets it. I mean, if your goal is just to work less hours, then you may have to end up earning less money, right? If it's to be closer to family, then, you know, you may do like Jared and end up negotiating your salary so that you're still at the same level and then continue to increase because you're really good at what you do, really passionate. I know, Brandon, you said your income also increased and your hours decreased by taking this job. But then looking at the big picture of the hours, you also have less time of the school hours or the school vacations off with your with your son. And so that's another one of those things you got to consider. What's the motivation? And then does everything else fit in underneath that?
Yeah.
Anything else?
That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, this episode will come out right around middle of February, something like that. So it's right before National Athletic Training Month. And we're giving away prizes on the Sports Medicine broadcast. I've already got a whole bunch of them set up. So if you want to win some of those prizes, go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/NATM. And again, if you want to contact Brandon or Jared, go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/salesrep. That has, you could hit them up on Twitter or email, or you can contact me and I can get you in touch with them. Again, I've met Jared in person. He is the same person in person as he is on Google Hangouts
here.
like I said, he's a good guy. He's a guy that people kind of want to be around, right? And so, and he's also willing to help and work the network and teach.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. Hey, now you just came back. Sorry, you were frozen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just bragging on you, saying, you know, how much I appreciate you and that I feel like you're a genuine guy. You're the same person in person as you are in Skype, and you're willing to help others. And so that really is your motivation. Brandon, one day we'll get to meet maybe at an ATA coming up or something.
Yeah,
I was hoping
to catch you at Houston, but it just got a little out of my hand there.
Yeah, it was super busy. And like I said, I was moving a bunch of people around so Jared could fit in all of his fan club.
No, you were running all over the place between the Dragonfly and the other booth for sure.
Yeah. All right, so Jared on Twitter is at Taping Pirate, and Brandon is B.A. Strode, Strode. All right, so you can hit them up again, like I said, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/salesrep if you want to get a little bit more information or you just need to remember where to find it later. So for Brandon, Jared, and Jeremy,
the
Sports Medicine Broadcast, that is a wrap.